just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6, Episode 52. Presented by Hooters, we thank Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast with 12 original Hooters brand locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. We are also powered by Bill Curry Ford, and in both of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast leagues, the playoffs start this weekend. And Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, will be writing $1,000 checks to the winners of both podcast leagues at the completion of our fantasy playoffs. When you are in the market for a new vehicle, whether it is a brand new Ford vehicle or you'd like to shop around their pre-owned selection where they have plenty of Ford inventory, but they also have inventory you might like of other makes and models, I want you to go to Bill Curry Ford, and I want you to personally ask for Sean Sullivan. And if you cannot find Sean Sullivan, you ask for Grace Thomas. Grace knows how to find Sean. Sean and Grace both know me very well, and they will appreciate that one of my listeners has come into the dealership looking for information about getting into a new vehicle. All right, Bill Curry Ford, Northdale Mabry in Tampa. My email for any fantasy football questions is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com, toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. For a significant amount of leagues, this is the last week of the regular season. It is in my foundation league. However, in the podcast leagues, I stuck with a 13-week regular season for logistic purposes, because of the playoffs and wanting to have an AFL-NFL offline Super Bowl in Week 17. Final week for buys. Latest it's ever been in the NFL, Week 14. The biggest impact, obviously, is Jonathan Taylor. To a lesser extent, I guess Damian Harris, especially after what Damian Harris did for his owners last week with the one big play in the Patriots' victory at Buffalo. All right. I'm looking past Pittsburgh, Minnesota, because the game hasn't happened yet in real time. I'm recording this at lunchtime on Thursday, so whenever you listen to this, take that into account. If there is different information than what I'm giving you on a player that has happened since the taping of this podcast, and I don't imagine you will listen to it until after the Pittsburgh, Minnesota game is done, so let's look ahead to Sunday and Monday action. Vegas at Kansas City, total has come down a bit, but still a high total at 48. There's obviously value in Josh Jacobs here with the Drake season-ending injury and Hunter Renfrow. We still don't know about Darren Waller. If you are in need of a plug-and-play quarterback, Derek Carr's okay just because he takes shots down the field. Jacobs caught all the balls out of the backfield once Drake got hurt last week. It's okay. It's not great. You can probably find better on waivers elsewhere if you didn't have a backup quarterback, but that's really the only thing that stands out for Vegas. From Kansas City standpoint, playing the hits here with a recent surge that the Chiefs have been on with Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, and yeah, Clyde Edwards-Helaire is validating the draft pick you spent on him since he has come back from injury with his volume. And it's actually the best he's looked since the first month of his rookie season in 2020. Saints at Jets. This is a lower total than I thought at 43. I guess just the thinking here is that the Saints are going to run the ball so much. Can they actually run the ball as much as New England did? I doubt it, but it's going to lower the number of snaps in this game and keep the clock moving. So Alvin Kamara returns. Mark Ingram may be out. So Kamara owners finally get him back. It should be very, what's the right word? Welcome and bountiful as it relates to Kamara. Taysom Hill looks like he's going to play through his finger injury, just like it looks like Joe Burrow is going to play through his finger injury. Hill might be more comfortable running the ball than throwing the ball. Those are really the only two things that stand out for New Orleans. From the Jets standpoint, the only thing of significance I've seen recently from the Jets is the play of Elijah Moore, but I believe he has a quad injury, and that could affect his status for the game. If you've been getting by with playing Elijah Moore, you might need to look elsewhere. San Francisco at Cincinnati. This game has gone from the Bengals being favored to the Niners being favored. I'm sure the Burrow finger injury has something to do with that. Joe Mixon's been awesome for the Bengals. Jamar Chase's funk continues. The fact that he dropped a big play, whether he finishes that out for a long touchdown or not, it turned into an interception last week. So Chase has, in the spirit of one of my favorite movies in college, gone from totally chic to totally geek. I don't see you benching him, though. I don't see you benching Jamar Chase. I mean, I guess you factor in, can Burrow, with the finger injury, make those deep throws to Chase? So keep checking status on Burrow. But Mixon's been great just because he scores all the time, and the volume and his role in the Cincinnati offense. T. Higgins has had a real good last month. Was just watching NFL Fantasy Live the other night. Cynthia on there, who's terrific, was talking about how T. Higgins, in her projections, is another strong play this week, maybe even a little bit better than Chase, because those might be the throws that Burrow is more comfortable making accurately. From the Niners standpoint, here we go with Eli Mitchell again. he's dealing with a lot. I guess the biggest thing is concussion protocol, so keep checking status. If Mitchell is active, he'll get a full workload. He always does. So you're just kind of hoping, you know, and this is a later afternoon game on Sunday, you'd almost rather know that he's out entirely rather than, you know, wait. So you'd love word by Saturday or early Sunday morning as it relates to Eli Mitchell. I wouldn't play any Niner back even if Mitchell is out. And Kittle had a huge week last week for the Niners. Debo, I would love to see Debo come back for my fantasy playoffs this week. I'm not optimistic, but keep checking status on Debo Samuel. If he's active, you're playing him. Jags at Tennessee. Only thing significant for the Jaguars is James Robinson. He's been playing through heel and knee injuries for a while now. As long as he's active, he's in your lineup. From Tennessee standpoint, I saw something on Julio Jones this week. I mean, I haven't gotten excited nor invested in Julio Jones all year, but A.J. Brown is still out on IR. So if Julio does go, it would just make sense that he's going to get balls thrown to him. And for those of you that expected more out of Julio Jones and have stuck with him, then at least finally he's an option for you this particular week. Running back just seems to be all over the place for Tennessee. I don't see any of them as a particularly strong play. Sure, someone could hit double-digit points there. Tennessee should be playing from the lead against Jacksonville. But that's all I got for you right now on the Titans. I'm hoping to advance in my fantasy playoffs and see if A.J. Brown can get out of IR and onto the field in Week 15. Ravens at Cleveland. Okay, this was a mess of a game a couple of weeks ago. It scares me to death to roll Lamar Jackson out against Cleveland because of how bad he was against Cleveland a couple of weeks ago. Harbaugh is talking about more no huddle with Lamar Jackson. Sort of the breakdown is, in no huddle, Jackson doesn't throw the ball down the field, but maybe that's a good thing right now. Perhaps Lamar's in some bad habits. Maybe he just hasn't felt good all year. You know, he had COVID at one point. He's been sick a couple other times. He had that flip into the end zone. He hasn't rushed for a touchdown since week two. He might be dealing with a bad hip that affects his throwing motion. I mean, I'm down on him. I might have to roll him out at no choice. I mean, do you plug and play? I mean, I did play Taysom Hill instead of Lamar Jackson in my foundation league last week. It ended up being about a push, but if it wasn't for Lamar's late drive to get the Ravens within one before the failed two-point conversion, Jackson was barely double digits in that game against the Steelers. Hollywood Brown's production has dropped off. Mark Andrews looks like more the weapon of choice these days for Lamar Jackson. From Cleveland's standpoint, Chubb and Hunt. So Hunt has had another week off to get fully healthy. There's been some talk that the Browns might use both of them on the field at the same time. I don't know what I'm going to do with Lamar Hunt this week. If I had Nick Chubb, I'd certainly be playing him. Granted, it's against the Ravens, but Chubb's just that good of a back. With Hunt, I want to play him, but I got to feel good about it, especially based on the low-scoring nature of the game played by these two teams 2 weeks ago. Carolina hosts Atlanta. What a dog game. It looks like Matt Rhule's playing out the string. I'm just going to throw something out there. So Carolina's OC is gone. It feels like Matt Rhule could be gone. Elsewhere in the Carolinas, follow me here, the AD at Clemson is gone. The defensive coordinator at Clemson is gone. The OC at Clemson could be going to Virginia. The new owner of the Carolina Panthers, who took over, 5 years ago, clearly in hiring Rhule is not against hiring college coaches and has always wanted to make a splash. Is Dabo headed to the NFL with Carolina? I mean, everybody else is leaving Clemson and they had a down year. I'm just kind of following the tea leaves here. That Dabo Sweeney may already have something in place and could be taking over the Carolina Panthers in the coming weeks. From a fantasy standpoint, Chuba Hubbard back in with McCaffrey out for the year. Cam's been up and down. DJ Moore been up and down with Cam. I don't know. Just not a lot to get excited about there from Carolina. I guess Hubbard because of his touch count. Atlanta, it's Cordarrelle Patterson. And my plug and play of Russell Gage last week got me the volume I expected. He didn't get in the end zone. He did lose a fumble, but he caught double digits in balls. He produced double digits in fantasy points. I don't know that I can expect that again, but I could roll him out again this week. I don't want to roll him out again this week because I'd love to get Debo back. Devontae Adams is off by, but Gage clearly is getting his number called in that offense more than Kyle Pitts. Dallas at Washington. Amari Cooper. There was a comment about him, I guess, from Mike McCarthy about how Cooper shouldn't be limited anymore. I guess he was, you know, slow coming back from COVID. Lamb obviously is a play. Gallup made some good plays last week. I still think a Gallup is a plug and play option. Washington's been playing strong. I mean, that's what you get from a Ron Rivera coach team. They're going to compete. They're going to fight. They're not going to give up on a season, and they're on a little run here. This game's pretty meaningful in this sense. If Washington wins this game, they're in it to win the NFC East. If they lose this game, the division looks to belong to the Dallas Cowboys. So I think you'll get a very motivated Washington team. I'm considering a plug and play with Heinicke this week against the Dallas defense. Gibson, high touch count, although I guess McKissick may be available. McScorin, he's good, not great, right? I guess Logan Thomas out for the year. That kid Carter for the Redskins, for Washington, I don't know a lot about him, but he seems to be a red zone threat. Kind of, to me, that'd be a sneaky daily play for him to get into the end zone in this game. And Tony Pollard may not be able to go or be limited. So much for the thought that Ezekiel Elliott needs a week off. He might have an even bigger workload in this game. What's the total? 48. That's a high total. All right, Seattle and Houston. Nothing with Houston. I guess Cooks was okay last week. He's kind of been the only thing Houston has had other than a game here or there for Tyrod Taylor. From Seattle's standpoint, yeah, you're still playing DK Metcalf. I think you can do better than Lockett. Russell Wilson, at your own risk at this point. And here we're going again with where's Russell Wilson getting traded in the offseason. Detroit at Denver. Keep checking status here on DeAndre Swift. He had that shoulder injury in the Thanksgiving game. I don't own him, so I don't follow this as closely. Yeah, let me go ahead and take a look. Because if DeAndre Swift is going to go, you obviously are going to put him in your lineup because he's going to have a significant role in the Lions offense, whether they are in the game or he's done a lot of damage in garbage time. Let's see what we got. Didn't practice Wednesday. Dan Campbell said improving, but it certainly seems like he is unlikely to play. That would mean Jamal Williams gets more snaps, but Jamal Williams, to me, not a strong fantasy play. Okay, so that's the latest on DeAndre Swift. Now, on the other side of things, Jay Williams for Denver has been extremely productive. I don't like that I'm going up against him this week in the fantasy playoffs. That's the big play for Denver if Melvin Gordon can't go. And as of the time of this taping, there's a chance Gordon sits again. And Williams' workload was huge last week. Giants at Chargers. Chargers have some COVID issues. Looks like Keenan Allen's out. Mike Williams probably out. But I guess Brandon Staley said on Thursday there's a chance Williams could be cleared to play. Austin Eckler and Herbert are staying in your lineup. Even if Allen and Williams don't play, you're not sitting Herbert in a Week 14 game that is your final week of the regular season or your first playoff game. He's just too good. And he can throw balls to Eckler. And even without Allen and Williams, it's not like the Chargers don't have others to be on the receiving end of good choices and accurate throws from Khalil Herbert. From the Giants' standpoint, they've just really had nothing going all year fantasy-wise. I mean, an occasional game here from one guy or an occasional game here from the other. With your playoff life on the line this week, I guess if you drafted Saquon Barkley, you're hoping he plays. And you're probably not drafting him next year. Bills at Buccaneers. The total is the highest of the week. And it's going up. It went from 53 to 53.5. So, Brady, Gronk, Godwin, Evans, Fournette. All five of them, strong fantasy starts. Bills, Diggs, Allen. And then you're kind of guessing as it relates to their running backs, Dawson Knox. Emmanuel Sanders has had two games this year. And if you were on him, great, but not a lot of consistency there from Emmanuel Sanders. You figure the Bills are just going to be thrilled not to be playing in 55-degree cold winds and in an up-tempo game likely against the Buccaneers. I'm trying to think if there's anything else as it relates to Buffalo. But really, I can only spotlight Diggs and Allen. I mean, in a tight end mandatory league, I guess Dawson Knox, but it's an important week, so choose carefully. Bears and Packers, is that the Sunday night game? Yes, it is. Bears-Packers. We might have a Khalil Herbert signing. I just re-signed him in one of my leagues. He was sitting there available, so I picked him up. Apparently, David Montgomery is dealing with a few issues. Keep checking status on this. It's dangerous to wait because it's the Sunday night game. Mooney's been real good, even if Allen Robinson comes back. Mooney is someone that you can consider having in your lineup, especially if it's still Andy Dalton making the throws for the Packers coming off the bye week. Rodgers playing through the toe injury. Adams limited on Wednesday with a hamstring. They're downplaying it. You know, I'm worried because I want a big game out of Devontae Adams since I own him in multiple leagues. And Aaron Jones looks fully healthy, but I think A.J. Dillon is still worth playing. I still think he's going to touch the ball plenty, you know, 12 to 15 times. And down on the goal line, I think they like Dillon more than they like Jones these days, especially if they just want to, you know, use Dillon straight ahead, you know, on dive plays to try to get in the end zone. Monday night game, Rams at Arizona. Kyler Murray, a huge fantasy return last week. If Chase Edmonds is activated, how much does that impact James Conner? I still think you're playing James Conner. You're just hoping that Conner doesn't lose too much with Edmonds back on the field. Hopkins got in the end zone in his return last week. And from the Rams standpoint, I guess you're going to keep checking status on Daryl Henderson as it relates to the running back situation. Let's see here. Yeah, we'll do that. Because Sony Michel was a terrific fantasy play last week in Henderson's absence. Let's see where we are in Henderson before we end the podcast. I don't have anything more on Henderson. And that's interesting. Usually by now, because might they both play? That just doesn't seem like McVay's style. Keep checking status on it. I mean, if Henderson is good to go, no concerns, no pitch count, I don't think you can play Sony Michel and you play Henderson. But yeah, big week for Michel last week. I want to check one more thing for you here before we go further. I just think it's interesting. Well, granted, I'm doing this Thursday morning. The Rams don't play until Monday night, so I guess that makes sense why I don't have more information on Henderson's status or the plan for Henderson in the Monday night game. But let me just check one more thing that I look at for information and see what it says. Because he was expected to play against the Jaguars, and he did not. So just keep checking status. He was active and didn't play. That was one of those, yeah, that's one of those nightmares, isn't it? So I think because he's active, it was tough to play Sony Michel. So McVay went coy on you, and hopefully you get some closure. I have no skin in the game here on Rams running backs. I did invest in Sony Michel early in the year. I just thought he'd be more of a factor in the Rams offense, but Henderson was too good. And Michel barely saw the field. But right now, I mean, Henderson was active last week and didn't play at all. So you're going to need some pretty solid info to play either Henderson or Michel this week. So just keep checking status on them. As because it's a Monday night game, I don't know if you can wait, right? I don't know if you can wait. I guess your worst situation is this week if you've got David Montgomery and Daryl Henderson and you don't know what to do because one's the Sunday night game and one's the Monday night game. And I guess complicating it would be if A.J. Dillon is a key backup for you these days and you don't know how Aaron Jones' return is going to help him. But that's the fantasy world that we play in, and we love it. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball at gmail.com. Todd Wright, fantasyfootball at gmail.com. Thank you for listening to Season 6, Episode 52 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters and powered by Bill Curry Ford.